Well, it's a pleasure and a privilege to be with you all today. Before I give my testimony, just a word to those of you who do know the Lord and love the Lord and have a testimony. It's always good to be prepared to give it. If you meet people who are not believers and will question you about the faith, if you feel unable to speak about various matters, scientific matters or whatever it may be, you can always give your testimony, and it is a precious witness. There are many religious people who have no testimony. Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics and others, and it makes an enormous difference to them. My testimony is somewhat long-winded. I won't go into all the details, but in the mercy of God, I think it is a fulfillment of that promise the Lord gives: ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. The Lord is very gracious, wonderfully merciful, wonderfully faithful. He will keep his word, and if we do seek him, and if we seek him with all our heart, we most certainly will find him. I come from not an evangelical Christian family. I went to church, a nominal Anglican family. Went to school assembly, went to scripture lessons and so on. I knew a reasonable amount about the Bible, but I can't remember hearing a gospel offer at all, really, in my youth, as a child or as a young person. But when I was, I think, probably about 12 years old, my older brother was converted. He was converted at school through the testimony of another pupil, and he was very decided in his change. Well, he wasn't outwardly wicked, but he took it very seriously. And he would graciously and gently, he's quite a shy man, but would encourage myself and my sister to seek the Lord and warn us of the dangers of not doing so. I rejected it. I wanted nothing to do with it. My life was to live as I wanted, to go and do what I wanted to do, and to be friends with the people I wanted to be friends with. The last thing I wanted to do at that time was to become a Christian. And I gradually, or not gradually, fairly swiftly, as a teenager, descended into a very godless lifestyle. I became an atheist for a little while, largely through doing biology A-level, but believing in evolution, believing in atheism. I had friends who were not the best godless friends, and after leaving school, I descended into a very godless lifestyle. Friends who smoked a lot of marijuana, lived immoral lives. I would say, pathologically lazy and fairly useless individual. I failed my A-levels and in different ways was, in one sense, sort of washed up. But the Lord, in his goodness and in his mercy, brought me to my senses. As I said, the last thing I wanted to be was a Christian, and I was far from it in terms of lifestyle. But various sorrows, hard things happened. The worst, I suppose, I would say, was my parents' marriage broke up, and they separated and then divorced. But also the group of friends that I was part of, that was smoking a lot of marijuana and doing other things, broke up because two of them were put in prison for seeking to bring heroin into the country to sell it. And thankfully, very thankfully, I didn't know what they were doing, but thankfully the police caught them and they were put in prison. But the friendship group was broken up. And I was spent a lot of time on my own was in quite confusion of mind. But I began to read the Bible. And I remember reading primarily the New Testament, the Gospels. And all I can say, I remember saying to my dad once in the car that I believed what my brother believed about Jesus being the Son of God. I wasn't converted, but I remember having read, not in any systematic way, but reading portions from the Gospels, that I saw that Jesus is and was the Son of God. And I began, I would say, from that time, seeking the Lord. But seeking in great ignorance, in great darkness, I would say my mind also at the time was quite confused, irrational at times, but the Lord in his mercy led me on. I kept reading the Bible, not again systematically, and I decided that I wanted to become a Roman Catholic. My reasoning for this was that all my experience of Anglicanism was that they were so woolly and they didn't know what they believed. The chaplain at the school I went to said he was continually, in a debate with an atheist, he was continually trying to believe in God. He had no certainty, no assurance, or no certainty that the Lord was there. And my impression was that the Roman Catholics knew what they believed. And I would go from time to time, even on weekdays, to a Roman Catholic church. Nobody else was there. Nobody else even greeted me. Thankfully, in one sense, I was left to myself. My father was not Roman Catholic, but he had a friend who was a Roman Catholic who said, well, if you want to become a Catholic, why don't you go and be instructed and taught about it? So I went off to see a Jesuit priest in the centre of London who would teach me. I can't remember how many times I went, maybe 3 or 4 or 5, but going through the basics of Roman Catholicism. And there was nothing I could argue from my own understanding that I thought, well, that is definitely wrong. But there was, until he said one thing, was that all Protestants are Manichees, are Gnostics, which is an old heresy, which believes, a dualist heresy that believes that all material things are bad and all spiritual things are good. And I thought, well, that is not right. That's not fair. That's not a legitimate criticism. But I didn't know, I didn't have enough understanding to refute what he was teaching me. And he taught me, put the papal supremacy from the scriptures and different portions that they would teach, but I did not have the wherewithal to answer it. Also at this time, in reading my own reading of the Bible, I came, I suppose, under conviction of sin. I came to see that the things that I had done meant I had no hope of heaven. There was no way God would receive me as I was. There was no hope that I could ever go to heaven as I was. And I could not undo what I had done. I could never make up for it in any way. And I was certainly troubled, greatly troubled. And my initial thought was to go and to confess my sins to a Roman Catholic priest. I went twice to a Roman Catholic priest, twice. I confessed my sins at some length, and I confessed also at the time that I wanted to become a Roman Catholic priest. They mercifully, in one sense, said to me, well, I would go and see somebody in your own faith, in your own church, in the Anglican Church, which I did eventually. And although the man was Anglo-Catholic, High Church as it's called, he advised me to stay within the Church of England. But in my own seeking, I was convicted. I'd gone to confession, but the things that I confessed, it made no difference. I still kept doing the sins that I knew to be wrong, but going to confession made no difference. There was certainly no assurance of forgiveness from the Lord. Until, I think around about, I couldn't give you the date, round about my 21st birthday in January, I remember reading in 1 John, 1 John verse 9, the very simple promise the Lord gives, that he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And so I simply confess them to the Lord, to Christ, to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I had no great experience of assurance, of pardon as such, but the things I confessed to the Lord took away, as his promise is given, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I started also at that time, I couldn't decide whether the Roman Catholic Church was right or whether I should go to the Church of England. And I simply prayed. I'd been reading also, and they were helpful in some senses, reading the prayer book of the Church of England, the 39 articles, and teaches about election and the sovereignty of God. And I thought, well, how do I know if I'm elect or not? But I just simply committed these things to the Lord, and the Lord overruled in his gracious way. I began to go to the church, the parish church nearby, which thankfully was evangelical, and began to attend there. But I had at the time no assurance, and my older brother would say to me, not meaning it nastily, I don't think you are truly saved. And I couldn't give him an experience to say, well, no, I am. I would read books about what it was to be born again, Billy Graham, born again. I would go to meetings. I remember going to an evangelistic meeting run by an Anglican preacher called David Watson and praying the prayer afterwards, and so on. But I couldn't say, he would say to me, when you seek the Lord with all your heart, then you will find him, which is very true. And I would say, but how do I know if I've sought him with all my heart? And eventually he advised me to go to see an old youth group leader of his, under whom he was converted, who went through the tests that we have in 1 John, the 7 tests, and said to me, well, I can't tell you if you are a Christian, but I see no reason why to say that you are not. And my brother took that as an encouragement that I was the Lord's. And since then, I've never turned back from the Lord. I never doubted in one sense from that time that I was the Lord's. The Lord has been wonderfully merciful, wonderfully faithful. I have tried from time to time to go in wrong ways, in foolish ways, tried to go down the charismatic way, but the Lord has graciously kept me and in his mercy preserved me and brought me thus far. And hopefully, God willing, this afternoon I might commend him further. He's been wonderfully faithful, wonderfully gracious, and that promise that he makes, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, he has vouchsafed and brought to pass in my own life. And my commendation to any of you who have not as yet found the Lord, He is there, He is to be found, and if we do seek Him humbly and simply, He will be found by you.